Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We got a full house today, and we are excited. We got the same round table with Kyle and Elizabeth and Danielle today, the intern crowd, talking about how do we learn to be good judges of what is truth for us, so we know what to do, not do, how to listen, how to trust ourselves. Because we're constantly being manipulated in this society by politicians, by drug companies, by everybody. And we got to come back to what is our truth? How do we learn to disseminate what is truth and what is not? You are listening to Mental Health Matters, and we're really glad you're with us today for a really exciting show. We broadcast Tuesdays at 6:30. We broadcast Thursdays at 12:30. We're on the internet. Check out our YouTube channel at Ardent Counseling Center on YouTube. Just Google that. And you could email us, scott@ardentcenter.com. And if you need anything else or have any ideas, please let us know. I'm Dr. Scott Terry, and you are listening to Mental Health Matters on KRUU 100.1 in your FM dial. And with us today, Danielle.
Yes, hello. I'm Danielle McWilliams. I am a graduate intern with Scott, and I'm excited to be here.
Actually live in person instead of on the phone, which is nice.
Yes, it's a change.
Hi, I'm Kyle Fernandez, and I'm an intern of Scott, part of the intern crew. Woohoo.
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Adler, also an intern. I also teach music at MSAE.
And what's really fascinating is, what do you guys think about this topic? So Kyle, you had another way to express this. How would you say this?
So we all live in a certain community, and within that community, there's different sub-communities. So if we're just talking about politics, we've got, and we're in Fairfield, Iowa, we've got the Republican community, and we've got the Democratic community, and then we've got all of these other communities like socialists and et cetera. And then within the Democratic community, we've got the Bernie community, and that has a whole set of logic and information and sort of barriers. And then we've got the Hillary community, which also, you know, and both of these communities sort of at times try to manipulate each other into buying into each other's paradigms. And same thing on the Republican side, and same thing with GMOs. Are GMOs good for us, or are GMOs bad for us? Are you living in the community where your friends all believe GMOs are good for you, or are you living in the community where your friends think that GMOs are bad for you? And is it black and white?
We are in the middle of Iowa, where people would think, for instance, this is a very, very heated. Now, if you're in Illinois. In Chicago, where I'm from, this is not an issue. They have no idea what GMOs are. But in farm country, it is a huge issue. Unless you're at Whole Foods in Chicago, you have no idea what this actually means. My mother has never heard of this term. And it's a really fascinating... I saw a really great topic, a really great lecture the other week on GMOs. Steve Drucker, fantastic book. I recommend everybody to pick up his book and read it. Steve was fantastic. I'm not recommending as KRUU, but I'm saying it was a fascinating topic. And what was interesting about it was looking at how I saw the parallels between that and Big Pharma, and how the books essentially, from Steve's perspective, they cooked the books on GMOs. That they manipulated the data to say that GMOs weren't harmful. Any data that would show that they were harmful was suppressed or eliminated. And it was only shown how economical, how good they were. And again, manipulation. Just like you're talking about, Kyle, with the Republicans and Democrats and every politician on the planet. The question I have is, I let's say I buy into Stephen's argument, which I do, let's say. The question I would have really comes back to, well, does that mean that all GMOs are bad? Does that mean, for instance, when I heard about the Zika Yes. Say that.
Zika virus?
Yes. Sorry to say that wrong. That somebody was talking about splicing mosquito DNA so that they could actually kill off the mosquitoes. And they said they could kill them off up to 95% in these areas. Huge benefit for society. So let's take that argument and let's say they could actually do that. The question then becomes, would this unleash a monster mosquito onto the planet? Would this upset the natural order of things? Would this actually be a bad thing? Or could this save thousands and thousands of lives because this was done in a good way? How do we know, as somebody who's not in a field, because I am not a scientist, I mean, I do have a doctorate and I've studied science, but that's not my specialty. How do I know what to do or not do, or think or not think, just like I can about politicians?
I think it really goes back to, you know, as you were kind of talking about how people in Illinois maybe don't necessarily know about GMOs. Like my mom, for example, she lives in Illinois and she's always calling and she listens to this stuff about GMOs and she shops at Whole Foods. And so she's always like, you know, GMOs are bad. And then I've got my husband and my father-in-law, they're farmers. So they don't think anything negatively of the, you know, they're kind of like,
think it's, the opposite. It's, they think it's necessary. Great thing.
It's, oh, it helps the crops. It helps, you know, there's, so it's like, how do you, and I think it kind of goes back to this, like, it's kind of a cultural lifestyle, what you've adapted to, what you've grown up with. And then it's how you educate yourself and kind of just making the best decision that you can. Whether that's right or wrong, I don't know.
But you got to do better than that. How do we know? Elizabeth?
So the question is, what does educating ourselves actually look like?
Yes.
Let's take another issue, vaccines. Mm-hmm. Let's pretend that I'm a new parent, which I'm not. But if I were,
Danielle is.
Danielle mm-hmm. is a new parent. Danielle, when you were making the decision about whether or not to vaccinate, mm-hmm. What kind of research did you do? What was your process?
I mean, I guess as a parent, it was kind of like a no-brainer. I mean, vaccines, scientifically, they've been proven to stop the spread of disease. I mean, that is just, you can't, I mean, there's some things with science you just cannot argue.
Right. And polio would still exist. We could just go down the list
right.
of and how devastation. But
so there was never like a conversation around it. It was never like, oh, should we vaccinate the children? Should we not? It was, nope, they're getting vaccinated.
But if you were in a community like this one,
right.
in which a lot of people were talking about, you know, had the anti-vaccine rhetoric going mm-hmm. on, that, you know, ideas, I don't even know exactly what.
Well, like one that's clearly dismissed, so this is a terrible example, is that vaccines cause autism. Clearly something, the guy who did that data said, clearly, I made this up. I manipulated this data. I lied completely trying to get money and trying to get a position and trying to do this and that. There's no question in any rational mind that's what happened. Does that mean all vaccines are good? Does that mean that vaccines don't have problems? And so what I'm trying to get out of is, again, the all or nothing thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That to critically think for yourself, okay, you say vaccines, it's a no-brainer. And for not just you as a parent, but for the society, when there's less than, I think it's 85 or 90%, I forgot the statistics, because this isn't a show on vaccines, we could do one sometime, that if it's less than that population is vaccinated, the notion of an outbreak is incredibly possible, such as we had at Disneyland or other places. And I'm sure people from the anti-vaccine will dispute everything I'm saying. So I'm not here to argue the point of vaccines.
Right.
What I'm saying is that how do you become a critical thinker, which as a parent is the most vital thing. As a therapist, it is the most vital thing you're trying to get your client to learn is how to be a critical thinker. no, my partner is not all the problems, but I'm not all the problems. It comes back to both of us and what we're both creating.
So I think what it might have to come down to is you go to the primary sources. If it's an issue that's important to you, you take the time, you find the actual research papers, you figure out, you dig in, figure out what the actual scientific explorations have been of a topic. The thing that's so hard about that is that not everybody is trained to read and decode research papers. Like, I wouldn't know if I were to read a research paper, I wouldn't necessarily know anything from it, really, because there's so much stuff going on that I don't understand as a person who hasn't been trained in that field. But then you say, okay, go to the next step, go to the place where things like research papers are decoded for the general public into the world of journalism or the world of books. But then you have this whole issue of, okay, then
there's
another person decoding it.
Right. So if I'm listening to Fox News, I'm getting a very slanted view of politics. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But somebody else from Fox could say the same thing about MSNBC or whatever. And, you know, just like we could talk about religion, you know, if I'm reading the original source, then yes, maybe I could figure out what it's in the original Aramaic, then maybe I could think this or that. But if I'm relying on my preacher who has an agenda, then how do I know? And then what am I doing with that information? So I have the highest level statistical and research background. And so I really understand research. And yet, as I said, specific areas of science, since I am a psychologist, family therapist, on and on, that is not my focus. So I don't know the current literature. I'm not up on it. So I'm reliant on somebody else disseminating that information. How do I trust even the people who are then disseminating that information?
Well, so as we're kind of having this conversation, what keeps coming to my mind is like a sense of self. So like you have probably a greater sense of self than maybe other people do. So in that case, you're not as easily manipulated. You're not as easily controlled. You can weigh both sides of an argument and make the best decision for yourself. A lot of people who don't have that sense of self, they can be easily swayed by, oh, GMOs are bad. No, they're really good. Or no, vaccines are bad. No, I think it all comes down to, do we know who we are as people? Are we easily manipulated? And how do we work around that?
I think that's a fascinating way of thinking out of it. But I almost want to say thank you for the compliment. But I would say, if you ask my wife, what would she say? Right? You're all laughing because you know what she would say. No, he's an idiot. What are you talking about? Yeah. No, because when I'm emotional, this morning I woke up and I was angry because my feet hurt and because I wasn't feeling well and I didn't sleep right. And, you know, there was this other issue I was trying to resolve about this paper I'm writing. And then the computer kept crashing. I was so lost in myself. There's no way when I'm lost, I don't know anything. And the problem is when we're lost, we don't even know we're lost. So it's like, well, you could sit there and say, yes, get more educated. But if you're lost emotionally, all that goes out the window.
But don't you think like in that moment, so you're lost, you're having a bad morning, don't you think in that moment that if somebody were to ask you like, they want to start getting into like a political conversation or you're going to know better than to be like, I can't talk about this right now. I need to get myself like, you know, whereas some people.
Or I could just jump right in and say, you're an idiot. What the hell? I can't say that. But, have you listened to what this guy's saying? I mean, my God, who would say something like that? And do you think there's no consequences? My brother-in-law is for this particular guy. And I'm like, he's like highly educated and he's wealthy. And it's like, why are you voting? Why would you want to vote and promote this guy? And it's like, well, he doesn't believe anything he's saying. And I'm going, I don't care if he believes what he's saying. Think about the consequences. But when I get sucked into the argument, I get emotional and I'm lost. And it's easy for me to say, you're wrong, to point a finger at him. But you know what? I'm not right. Mm-hmm. So when, by the way, you are listening to KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial, listening to Mental Health Matters today, and Kyle, we're talking about, because you're about to jump in.
So Scott, you know, what do we do in those moments? How do we be a critical thinker? How do we come out of that space of irrationality into a space of critical thinking and combine with intuitive knowledge of reflecting to oneself?
Well, what do you think? So think about a couple. Think about when we're treating somebody. So listeners, we're all therapists here. And I want you to think as we do.
We're not therapists.
Well, you're getting there.
We're in training. Elizabeth and I are undergrad interns. We're not therapists.
You're getting there. Okay. But you're thinking in that mode. And so so you're thinking about somebody who's lost from whatever condition they've got. They're anxious, they're depressed, they're in a relationship that's not going well. I know none of us could ever imagine a relationship not having an argument. None of us have ever had arguments. Danielle, why are you laughing?
It's funny to think about.
it's right? And so we all have that.
Right.
So what would you say to somebody else? And listener, as you're listening to this, what would you say to not only your best friend, but what would you say to yourself when you're lost?
I'd say when you're lost, and just if someone's just tuning in now, we're just talking about if you're lost in your emotions, you're just downright angry, or you're lost in maybe obsessive thinking or something, and you don't even know you're lost. There's these gaps, and when you breathe out, you know, there's a gap between your exhale and when you're about to start inhaling again. And then when you inhale, there's a gap between when you're about to start exhaling again. And there's all these gaps. And so just creating these times to check in with yourself. How am I doing right now? And by creating these times to check in with yourself, if you practice checking in with yourself, how am I feeling right now, several times a day, if you're one who has a habit to lose themselves consistently and you don't know that you've lost yourself, you're like, I'm going all through these times where I'm losing myself and I'm just getting angry and I don't even realize that I'm angry. It's create this habit to check in with yourself. How am I feeling right now? And you're like, well, I was just yelling at that person. And you didn't realize at the time you were yelling at that person, but, you know, you need a gap. You need a time to just check in. How am I feeling right now? Oh, I'm feeling angry.
And then what are you doing about what you're experiencing?
I was just going to say, I think it's okay. So you're experiencing all this craziness going inside. You're feeling really anxious. You're feeling really angry. You're feeling really sad, whatever it is. So what are you going to do with it? Like what? Okay. So you have choices. I can be really angry and I can lash out and I can yell and I can scream and okay, that's great. But then what? Then how do you move forward from that?
Right.
What
I feel better creating? For 5 minutes. Right. Now what? Well, and so we come to this question. I was going to go into the example of another one of these kind of things like Big Pharma. And everybody wants to think Big Pharma is out for the money. And I'd go, yes. And but the question is when they cook the books on antidepressants, something I know very specifically that they did. And they threw out data that any data that did not show positive results, they tossed out. It's a big scandal that happened. The question is that we want to say is Big Pharma bad? Are they good? Does that mean antidepressants are no good? And I go, no, it depends. Sometimes they could be absolute. I've seen them be lifesavers. And sometimes they are utterly destructive. And so it comes back to that sense of, and this was the leap that I was making before, of trust. How do I trust myself? How do I learn to listen to myself? And it's the same thing in my head, and I know this is a leap for people, but to think of when you're in a relationship and somebody has an affair on you and you feel violated, you feel betrayed. How do you learn to not just trust the other person, but how do you learn to trust yourself, what you're hearing in your own head of what's working and what's not working? Instead of blaming and focusing on the other person, just like this issue is good or this issue is bad, stop with the all or nothing, good or bad, right or wrong, left or right, black and white thinking, and go, how do I trust me again? Because I feel off kilter, as Kyle was saying. It's, I got to come back to my center.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think just as you're talking about that, I think it goes back to that, like, when you were talking about the big pharma, it's like that all or nothing thinking. But at the same time, like, why does it have to be all or nothing? Why can't there be some gray area? It doesn't have to be so black and white. You know, and I think it kind of goes like that with relationships too. So somebody has an affair. Okay, the person's feeling rejected. They're feeling hurt. Does it have to be, I can never trust again. I'll never get into another relationship.
Does it
be like, okay, this was an experience. I had it. I need to figure out what to do with it. And now I need to figure out how to move forward with my life so that it doesn't consume my every thought.
Because otherwise, when I look at anybody, they are now tainted with that shadow. I have those rose-colored glasses on, and that person will always look a certain way to me. Then you become a self-fulfilling prophecy, and there is no way to move forward in that relationship.
Right.
And so it really is, that's part of the whole couples retreat stuff, is like focusing on starting a new relationship in a new way, with new rules. And a lot of times, for most people, when there's an affair, it's really the result of the relationship, not something's missing in that relationship or something's missing in that individual and you weren't seeing that. And so the ultimate feeling is not about, it's this violation of the other to you, but it's also, what are you feeling yourself that, like, why didn't I see it? And it's a kick in yourself. Yeah, Kyle.
It's you know, with me and my friends and everyone, it's, once you get out of a relationship and that relationship went south, relationships don't always need to go south. You can end a relationship without it being south. But, you know, a lot of the times when you've ended a relationship, you know, feeling mad at the other person or it going south, you're just like, how did I not see that quality in that person? How was I so blind to not see that this was never going to work out?
Yeah. And so what do we do with that? And so it comes back to, you know, Danielle's question. You know, in the end, how do you know? And so, yes, as Elizabeth so brilliantly talked about, it's not just how do I educate myself to know a particular subject and to see the nuance, the gray area between, that sometimes something could be good, bad, in between. And okay, I can't always do that for every subject because there's too much. So I've got to learn how to filter the people who are filtering for me and find independent, real sources, real journalism, not fake journalism, for example.
Like, for instance, if we go to the Huffington Post, they are mostly, I think, Democratic, right?
For the most part.
Really? I didn't even know that.
To me, at least, from what I read, my opinion is that there's, when I'm reading the Huffington Post, and, you know, I'm a Democrat and I enjoy reading it, I feel like it's biased towards Hillary or Bernie versus, say, Trump or Cruz. And maybe it's just the articles that I read from Huffington, because those are the only articles that pop up on my newsfeed or Google, because Google knows that I'm a Democrat.
Yeah, I grew up believing that the New York Times, Huffington Post, and New Yorker were the sources of information. Those were the legitimate sources of information, and my parents were the legitimate sources of information. Mm. My dad is actually a journalist.
Really?
Yeah, he is. He's amazing, and he really believes in the importance of journalism and the ethics of it. He's an incredible person.
Just like Spotlight, where they really looked at the real journalists doing real work at the Boston Globe to undercover the priest sex abuse scandals. but it wasn't, and it wasn't glorifying. It was really like, no, we're doing the real legitimate, you know, time-consuming work.
But yeah, so he's actually editor-in-chief at Reuters, and yeah. And
wow.
Yeah.
That's seriously impressive.
No, he's amazing. So anyway, but the point I'm trying to make is that even with that background, with my parents being who they are and having grown up trusting certain sources, I now have no idea whether these sources are, I'm not talking about Reuters, but specifically New York Times, New Yorker, whether these are objectively reported, whether they're reported in an unbiased way, because of course all people have biases.
Yeah.
So how do you escape that? And do you just have to choose what kind of bias you're going to be, what kind of bias your journalism is going to be leaning towards? Am I just going to say, well, I'm a liberal, so I want to read journalism that has a liberal bias? You know?
Right. And that's true. So are we, in fact, are we, in fact, the arbitrators of the things that are filtering, that we're choosing as filters? I mean, what is, well, I'm sorry, Kyle, you're going to jump in.
Sorry, real quick. It's so when I've seen I've seen posts for both Bernie and Donald Trump, and it's like, it's the same video, and one's like, look how bad Bernie is. And like, and then it's like, well, look how good Bernie is, but it's the same video. It's like the Democrats are like, look how bad this video is and how bad Bernie is, or the Republicans. And then the Republicans are like, look how bad Bernie, like, it's the same video, but the Democrats might think that they're like, oh yeah, I like everything Bernie's saying in this video, so it's good. And then the Republicans are like, look at what Bernie's saying. Oh, the video is bad. This means they're bashing. It's the same information, but because we live in different paradigms, it means something different.
Yes, perfect. And so we end in our last minute here of saying, how are we to be aware of our paradigms, to be aware of the choices that we're making, but mostly, like that relationship example, what are we doing with what we're experiencing, whatever this is?
And we're not ignoring the information. We're not ignoring that it's there. We're identifying that it's there, and we're taking it and making the best possible choice for ourselves.
But be critical thinkers. Right. Don't stop at saying, yes, this is good, this is bad. Whenever you hear an absolute, question it. And bring it back to what you are not just experiencing, but want to create from that experience, so that you can make an even bigger difference. If that experience, if that limitation of, if that decision that you're making to trust this and that brings things to a negative end and is more destructive for you and the world around you, then maybe it's time to think of something more positive. Just like in a relationship, you know, to look at somebody as black and white will destroy you. Forget about what it will do to the other person. It will destroy you and it will destroy your relationship. So you've got to move out of that paradigm.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much. Any final words from anyone?
No, thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Have a great day.
Bye.